Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Jonathan from San Diego.
Hi, Jonathan, alcoholic. Sorry, I'm already messing up. Okay, try to squeeze 60 years of life into 10 minutes. Good luck, right? Just like to start by saying, was it Melissa that has 10 years? Congratulations, that's awesome. I just hit six a couple of weeks ago, so I'm feeling pretty good about that as well. I'd also like to say to the people with 30 days, especially Josh, we used to work together. Hang in there, just keep coming back. I appreciate you making a commitment to our group. That's awesome. See, he's already on the board and he's only got 30 days. Okay, so I guess basically I could, if I had 45 minutes, I could tell you all the funny, stupid stories. But when you're trying to do 10 minutes, I'd rather get to something that's meaningful. So with that said, just to kind of briefly tell you a little bit about the role alcohol has kind of played in my life. And then later I'd like to tell you how I ended up developing a chemical dependency to alcohol. So when I was born into a very dysfunctional family full of alcoholics. Both my grandfathers died of alcoholism. My father was an alcoholic. It even says that on my birth certificate, father's occupation, bartender. So that's a great way to start your life, right? Anyways, it was extremely dysfunctional childhood, and naturally I ended up growing up drinking, you know, likewise, just follow the examples that were there. And I guess that was a way of coping. And then, you know, my brother was a hardcore alcoholic. About 15 years ago, he destroyed his liver and decided he didn't want to live anymore. That was a pretty sad moment in my life. Those types of things make you want to drink. My sister is currently an alcoholic, and she's now drinking herself to death. Her son, she drank during her whole pregnancy with her son, so my nephew basically is a hardcore alcoholic too. And what sucks for me is they're my family and I love them, but I can't really be around them because they're just very difficult people. They don't like to feel anything, so you can't talk to them about anything. Nothing ever gets resolved because there's no discussing. It's either flight or fight. And now I have a daughter who's a hardcore alcoholic, and I can't really have a relationship with her either. But here I am, 6 years of sobriety. Woohoo! I'm the only guy in my family. Yay! Anyways, maybe one day I'll be an example to some of them, but hopefully I can be an encouragement to people that are here. So with that said, you know, when I was younger, I realized, you know, like in my late 20s, that alcohol had played a pretty big, significant role in my life, but I really didn't think I was an alcoholic. I was just aware that, you know, you got to kind of keep it in check. So I always, for years, I just felt like I had control over alcohol. It didn't have control over me. But about 15 years ago, when my brother committed suicide, I started hitting it hard and heavy. Like, I pretty much, you know, lived a pretty conservative life for the most part, but as soon as that tragedy happened in my life, I just started immediately medicating my pain. And my drug of choice was Patron and a Chaser. So, and then I would just try to manage it as best I could by, you know, drinking lots of water and eating food while I ate and just pacing myself. But pretty soon it slowly but surely progressed and ended up getting the best of me. So that was, I started about 15 years ago. So about, you know, 11 years of drinking pretty heavy, I kept trying to quit, and I wasn't able to quit. And I was like, what the heck? You know, is this, like, got a grip on me? Like, what's going on? Like, I could always quit before. And so normally you go to your doctor's appointment every year, and they say, you know, once a year on your physical, they say, any drugs or alcohol? And then typical answer would always be, oh, no, just strictly social. It's a non-issue, so it would never come up. But this particular year, I went there, and when they did the intake, I said, my answer was, yes, there's alcohol. And they were like, well, how much and how often? I said, a whole lot and a whole lot often. And they said, do you want to talk to the doctor? And I said, yeah, I'd like to talk to the doctor. So then about halfway through the physical, the doctor said, so what do you want to know? What do you want to, you know, what particular do you want to know about your about alcohol? And I said, well, how much can a person's liver, like, metabolize in a lifetime before it becomes detrimental? Because I didn't want to end up like my brother. And he said, well, from what you're telling me, it sounds like you might have already done some damage to your liver, Jonathan. And I'm like, okay. So he said, well, we'll run a blood test. And in the meantime, do you want to talk to anybody? And I said, and they were like, yeah, we have this AA people with the VA hospital, you know. And I said, well, if you're going to have somebody call me, make sure they're really top-notch, because I've had a lot of really good psychotherapy in my life, and I've dealt with some really good people, and I don't want to just talk to some Rudy Poot alcoholic. So he actually had the head of the whole VA alcohol program call me. And he said, well, what do you want to know exactly? And I said, well, you know, is... what, you know, can you explain to me exactly what alcoholism is? You know, is it like a disease? Is it like an addiction? What the heck is this? You know, what am I up against? And he said, well, the disease is kind of a result of the alcohol, of drinking too much. But he says, yeah, it's, he said, from what you're explaining to me, you've basically developed a chemical dependency. And I'm like, chemical dependency? Like, what? Are you kidding me? like a drug ad? Like a drug addict or something? He goes, yeah, it's a drug. I said, I thought it was just like some liquid you drank. I didn't think of it as a drug that could make me like strung out. Are you kidding me? So I just said, so once he said that to me, you know, it took me a little time to digest. I just said, well, I said to myself, the notion of it being able to do this to me, like, made me just instantly... like, alcohol was no longer appealing to me. It lost its appeal, like, just like that. Because I didn't drink to develop a chemical dependency. I drank to, like, get rid of this tremendous anger and resentment that I had off of my shoulders. Like, it was so severe that I would just be in knots. And as you all know, you take that shot, and there's just like, oh, God, what a relief. So, you know, so... I just said, okay, I'm just done. And he's like, oh, well, you better talk to these people, and I don't think you can do this. So I started, you know, so I went a couple of times to their people, and I just like, well, you know, I might check out this program one day, but I just know I'm just done. I'm just doing it. And so about that time, about a week later, I didn't know exactly when I was going to do it, but I knew I was going to do it soon enough. And so a week later, I take my daughter out for dinner, and we start drinking too much, and we get into a big old fight. Thank you. We get into a big old fight, and I'm like, okay, maybe God's trying to tell you something, Jonathan. And then I come home drunk from that fight, like really pissed at myself about it, because I told myself I was going to quit. And then I open up the mailbox, and there's this letter from my doctor saying, yeah, that the results of your blood test indicate that you do have, you know, some damage to your liver. So that was a Friday night, and the very next morning, I just quit. I had like about a third of the bottle, my favorite tequila, and I just poured it down the sink, and I went to work. And I remember the guy from AA told me, he said, yeah, you're going to go through with these withdrawal symptoms. And I'm like, okay, I don't think I'm that bad that I'm going to have the shakes and seizures and die in front of you like he was telling me some people do. But I said, you know, I think... So he said that you'll have anger, and you won't even know why you're angry. He said you'll have anxiety, and he said that you'll have to, your sleeping pattern, you'll have to adjust. So I said, okay, I can do the adjustment. And I went, you know, to the sleep. And then I went, yeah, the other day I was angry, and I was like, nobody even did anything to me, and I was pissed off. Like so that must have been, he goes, yeah, that's your body craving the alcohol, you know. I remember being like at work going, damn, I don't want to drink at lunch, but I can't wait to get off work. So then the day I quit, I said, are you going to really be able to do this? I went to work on that Saturday morning, and I came home. You know, and I was wondering what the anxiety was that he was telling me I was going to have, and I realized, oh, it's like some unhealthy codependent relationship that you don't need to be in, and you're going to have to come home, and your girlfriend won't be there waiting. Your girlfriend, Don Julio, won't be there waiting for you. So anyways, thank God I had a lot of therapy before that. I've been through Codependents Anonymous, and I had some background in the 12 steps. But when my friend Janice dragged me here a few months later, insisting that I go to this and stop trying to white-knuckle it on my own, I saw how seriously you guys take the steps, and I said, you know, I was introduced to the steps before, and I never really took it serious. So I think it's about time I do. And that's when I started getting a whole lot better, and I haven't had a drink since. Thank you very much.